mentioned, I will introduce myself. I'm Pastor Dean Pickett, my wife Linda. We have been pastoring for 43 years straight, and now we've been retired almost 6 years. Hard to believe, time slips away. But we're grateful for that opportunity to serve the Lord and to be involved in many and various ways. We do have three growing children. Our oldest daughter and her husband and their two children live in, Dalton, Illinois. Our son and his wife and two daughters live in Bloomfield, New Jersey. My mind is tired this morning. You'll have to forgive me. And our youngest daughter and her husband live here in town, Nathan and Jennifer DeYoung. And I think Mrs. Jingle has taught with Jennifer, I believe, or been knowing her for several years. And she is now the principal at Jones Farrar here in town. And we're grateful and thankful for each of our children. We just were with them. We had a funeral last Friday in Fort Wayne, Indiana, of Linda's aunt that passed away at 96 years of age. She was a missionary for 38 years and has been with us the past almost 4 years. She was in the Ascension Living St. Joe Village here in town. It was a wonderful service, and we're grateful for God's presence and his help and strength as we were part of that service. We do have then seven grandchildren, so it's amazing. As you get older, all those grandchildren count, don't they? We are thankful and grateful for each of them. One wrote, "Circumstances may appear to wreck our lives and God's plans, but God is not helpless among the ruins. Our broken lives are not lost or useless. God's love is still working. He comes in and he takes the calamity and uses it victoriously, working out his wonderful plan of love," quote unquote. What is he saying to us? Circumstances happen in our lives. Things happen and take place. On one particular occasion, Jesus said to the multitude in the book of Matthew, chapter 11, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Jesus here is endeavoring, I believe, to paint to us two pictures. One is of extreme weariness, or where a person has gone as far as he can without taking another step. The other one is the extreme pressure, or where one is about to explode or unable to take any more. Amazing, isn't it? No doubt all of us here have at some time or another gone as far as we feel like we can go, or the pressures become so heavy and so burdensome that it's almost impossible. We think we can't take one more step. We can't go any more things to happen to us. Sometimes in our search for rest, there are many things which can burden us, become weary or weigh us down or almost exhaust us. These might include working too much, pursuing material things, power, rules, regulations, guilt, or many other things. But what do we do in these kind of circumstances? Where do we go? I'm glad that Jesus invites us here in this passage of Scripture in the book of Matthew in chapter 11, "Come to me." Come to me, Jesus says. Why should we come to him? He said in verse 28, "I will give you rest. I will give you rest." I don't know about you this morning, but I found through the years of experience that Jesus has all the answers to our needs or our questions. He may not always audibly tell us, but aren't you glad this morning that he has the answers? And I'm thankful for that. No wonder Isaiah, the prophet in the Old Testament, shares with us that there in book chapter 1 and verse 18, "Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are as red as crimson, they shall be like wool." John, in his writing in the book of Revelation, chapter 22, says these words, "The Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him who hears say, come. Whoever is thirsty, let him come. Whoever wishes, let him take the free gift of water of life. In other words, in order to receive what Jesus has for us, we must come to him. Aren't you glad this morning that he does not force himself upon us? But it's a free will choice that we can come to him. It's our choosing. He doesn't make us. I used to bristle when I was in high school and college. I probably shouldn't tell you this, but I'm human, so I guess it's all right to share with you. I used to bristle when the teacher said, you have to do this and you have to do that, in my mind. I didn't say it verbally. Don't misunderstand me. And I thought, you know, when somebody says, you have to do this or you have to do that, I thought to myself, no, I don't really, but if I'm going to pass, if I'm going to make it, I need to do it. And Jesus is saying, if you love me, you'll do what I ask you to do. If you'll come to him, you'll find rest for your souls. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. What are we supposed to, what do you suppose he's trying to tell us? He's identifying with things that people were acquainted with in those days. It was very common in those days to use a yoke and to connect two animals together as a team. It was designed to distribute the weight between two people or two, so together they could pull many times their own weight. When the yoke was fitted properly, a team of oxen could move forward with minimum effort and maximum efficiency. If it wasn't, it would soon cause irritation and eventually lead to sore spots. Or if this happened, the oxen may get stubborn, irritable, unwilling to pull the load. And if they were pushed hard after that, they've been known to paw the ground because they were upset. They were angry in that sense of the word. But isn't it wonderful this morning that we can come to Jesus? You say, why should we come to Jesus? I think, first of all, that we would have a yoke of surrender. Jesus here instructed the multitude, take my yoke upon you. He is asking them to show the kind of response or action after finding the rest that he has for them. Earlier, Mark records for us in the 8th chapter, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me and for the gospel will save it. Or what good is it for a man to gain the whole world, yet forfeit his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? If we want to receive the rest that Jesus has for us, we must answer his call to surrender our lives to his will and to his way. Give him first place in our lives. He summed up the Ten Commandments in these words when he said to the teacher, there again in Mark chapter 12, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and all your strength. The second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. One wrote, a true submission is a willing submission, quote unquote. What is he saying to us? Do it willingly. Don't do it out of feel like I have to do it, but because I want to do it. Jesus said again, and I mentioned this a moment ago, if you love me, you will obey what I command. When we submit to his authority, then we can share in his sonship with his Father. How precious, how wonderful. As I stand before you this morning, I might tell you how good something tastes. But until you taste it, you don't know how good it is. Am I right? I don't know if here in Illinois any of you have ever had sugar cream pie. Anybody here ever had sugar cream pie? Maybe you haven't. I'm making you hungry now. I shouldn't say that, but it's good. As a matter of fact, we had some at the funeral dinner, and it was homemade. And it's Indiana's pie. That's their state pie. I could tell you how good it is and how it just melts in your mouth. But until you taste it, you don't know. Am I right? I can tell you all about it. I can also tell you this morning that surrendering to Jesus totally, completely is a wonderful thing, even though you may not have experienced that in your life. But unless you surrender your life to Jesus in complete obedience, take up your cross or yoke and continue a moment-by-moment walk with him, you'll never know what it's like until you surrender completely and let him have his whole way in your life and in your heart. The yoke of surrender. Not easy. Let me just share another illustration with you. I probably shouldn't tell you this, but many years ago, I have a brother who's just 2 years older than I am. And of course, brothers are brothers. We used to tassel together. You know, we used to not box each other, but we would wrestle. And I remember so vividly one day out in the yard, we were wrestling. He got a hold of my foot and he twisted it. He said, say I give. And I wouldn't. And he twisted and I hurt. A few years ago now, I had to have a knee replacement. I blame it all on him. It's all his fault. Yoke of surrender. Giving our complete total surrender to Jesus. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. Not only do we see a yoke of surrender, but we also find in this passage a yoke of strength. There in verse 29 of the 11th chapter, learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. In other words, follow my example. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ, as he wrote to the church in Corinthian church. Follow me. Jesus is saying, follow me. I'm the one who is in contact with the Father. I'm the one who's the Son of God. Paul described him in the book of Philippians. He said, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, being found in the appearance as a man. He humbled himself, became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place, gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee would bow, every tongue would confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. I'm so glad this morning that Jesus humbled himself, became obedient to death. But aren't you glad today he's not on the cross? He's not in the tomb, but he's at the right hand of the Father, ever interceding for us. I'm so thankful this morning for that fact, that realization. You see, when we follow Jesus' example, we find rest for our souls. The Holy Spirit will be in complete control of our lives. And again, according to Isaiah 33, there'll be smoothness, evenness, quietness as we follow Jesus. He helps us learn to keep his yoke fitting properly and perfectly. It may not happen all at once, but over a period of time as we walk with him and talk with him and allow him to teach us and guide us and direct us. You remember Mary and Martha in Friends of Jesus. Mary was the one who was so concerned about taking care of the things in the kitchen. Martha sat at Jesus' feet and learned what Jesus had for her to learn. Mary came out and she said, Jesus, can't you get Martha to come in? Jesus said, she's learning the most important things. Do we sit at the feet of Jesus and learn what he has for us? You say, how can I do that? Well, his word is so important to us, am I right? Do you take time each day to read and study and allow his Holy Spirit to teach you and guide you and direct you and help you to be what he wants you to be? It's a yoke of strength. We find encouragement. We find strength in reading and studying the word of God. It's there. It's for us. It's an encouragement. Also, this morning, we not only see the yoke of surrender, the yoke of strength, but we see also the yoke of service. Jesus said here in verse 30, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Many times in our Christian lives, the devil tries to get us to feel it's very hard to live for God. When we love Jesus with all of our heart and soul and mind and strength, it isn't really that hard. As we trust him and lean upon him, we soon realize he gives us what we need at the right time. At the right time. He's never late. Do you believe that this morning? I do. He's never late. Sometimes I've thought he's going to be late. But you know what? He's always on time. Aren't you glad today? Charles Wiggle, a hymn writer, wrote these words, living for Jesus, oh what peace. Rivers of pleasure never cease. Trials may come, yet I'll not fear. Living for Jesus, he is near. Help me to serve Thee more and more. Help me to praise Thee o'er and o'er. Live in Thy presence day by day, never to turn from Thee away. Living for Jesus. How precious this morning. Nancy Carmichael wrote these words, "Lord, You said You are in the weak, the powerless. Forgive me for attempting to orchestrate, to generate Your message, when all You want to do is write Your message on my life. I am willing, Lord, I humbly submit my weak, powerless, ordinary life into Your hands. May I live my life as unto You, not unto anybody else. Give my hand strength to do physical tasks, my mind and heart courage to do right, and wisdom to see You in all of life. In Jesus' name I ask this. Amen." It's not us, but it's Jesus working through us and being used. We are His hands. We are His feet. We represent Christ when Christ is within us and we allow Him to guide us and direct us. I came across this illustration some time ago now. A lady went to the nursing home and to the ward there in the hospital where a lot of older people were. And the question was raised, "Are you looking for Cookie? She's in the social room. They're having a hymn sing," the nurse informed me. Cookie was my Aunt Alice, a patient in the long-term care unit. I located the social room and my aunt. She was one of a dozen seniors gathered. Some had trouble finding the page in the hymnal and their voices were scarcely audible. Aunt Alice, who had been in church solaced, was doing well and enjoying every minute of it. The song leader had a beautiful tenor voice. I was impressed that he didn't use the hymnal. Obviously, he knew all the words. As I joined in, I thought, what a pleasant way to pass time. Unfortunately, I had arrived during the last hymn that was being sung. As the singers were wheeled back to their rooms, the song leader pulled out a metal handle out of his pocket, a handle that extended to a full-length cane. The song leader was blind. A nurse's aide noticed my surprise. "That's Mr. Davis," she said. "He comes here every Thursday to lead the singing." I thought of Mr. Davis that night at home instead of dwelling on what he didn't have, his sight. He gave generously what he did have, a joyful song to the Lord. What a joy it is to have a yoke of service. I'm so glad this morning that Jesus asked us, and here in the scripture that we read to you and shared with you, "Come to me, take His yoke upon you. Learn of Him, and then we will find rest for our souls." You see, beloved, when we do our part, Jesus always does His part. Again, I came across this story some time ago that was printed in the Guidepost. It was the story of Jim Stovall, who became a totally blind at the age of 29. While he still had partial vision, he volunteered at a school for the blind. He was assigned to help a four-year-old boy who was blind and severely handicapped. He spent a lot of time with him trying to convince the boy that he could tie his own shoes and climb a flight of stairs in spite of his limitations. "No," said the boy, I can't do it. "I can't do it." "Yes, you can," Stovall replied. "No, I can't." The verbal battle went on. Meanwhile, Stovall fought his own limitations. Because of his deteriorating vision, he decided he had to quit his college courses. On his way to withdraw from the college, he decided to resign his voluntary position as well. "It's just too tough," he said to the professors. "I can't do it." "Yes, you can," said a little voice behind him. It was the four-year-old boy who refused to tie his shoes. "No, I can't," said Stovall with conviction. "Yes, you can." Stovall realized if he didn't continue, the child would give up too. So Stovall stayed in school, graduated 3.5 years later. The same week he graduated, his little friend, tied his shoes, and climbed the stairs. No wonder Paul wrote to the church in Philippi, "I can do everything through him, that is Christ, who gives me strength." Do you suppose it's possible someone or some of us here this morning who need to come to Jesus and find his rest or his forgiveness? Perhaps you need to come to him and fully surrender your life. Take his yoke upon you and receive the fullness of his Holy Spirit. It could be that you just need to have your yoke adjusted. Whatever your need is, Jesus will meet it if you'll but come to him. Come to him. Aren't you glad this morning that we can come to Jesus? We don't have to go through somebody else. It's the way of the cross that leads home. Jesus had to give his life on the cross of Calvary that we might have and enjoy everlasting life. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we pause in your presence this morning. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your love. We thank you for the privilege of knowing Jesus as our personal Savior. Thank you for all that he has done for us, Jesus. This morning we thank you. We praise you. We love you with all of our heart, soul, mind, strength. Help us to love our neighbors as ourselves. Be near to these, your people here. May you guide them. May you direct them. May you encourage them. May you strengthen them. Maybe there are needs, Lord, that we don't know about, but you do. And we just pray you'll help us to be mindful of you, that in all that we do and all that we say, it may bring glory and honor to the wonderful name of Jesus. For it's in your mighty, marvelous, matchless name that we pray and we ask it all. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for coming and sharing this morning. Thank you for the opportunity to share God's word. What a great God we serve, don't we? Amen. Praise his name. I think that's it. Bless your heart. Thank you.